So I try not to get so focused on the vastness of the population, and I just think about, you know, the 200-plus people that we process to today.
Donations from Haines help hundreds in Haiti. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. Last month, the Haines Borough began to take a closer look at the law that keeps vehicles off sidewalks. Citizens and a member of the assembly were concerned that the law might mean motorized snow removal on sidewalks is illegal. Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe took the job on, looking into state and local laws to see if clarification of code is needed or not. And he says an update would not only be unnecessary, but perhaps ineffective.
Well, I've looked at the borough code for operating an off-road vehicle on the sidewalk, and two things come to mind for me. One is the state code particularly allows the borough to allow snowmobiles on borough-maintained highways. It does not say that the borough can allow off-highway vehicles on a sidewalk. There already is a state ordinance that you can't operate these vehicles on the sidewalk. So even if the borough would like to pass that, it would be in conflict with state law, and the state law would still be there. You can't operate it on the sidewalk, and they could still be charged under that.
But Lowe says there's more to the law than what's in the law books, and that philosophy could be the solution.
Having said that, there's a difference here between what we call the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. You know, there is nobody that can drive from their home to work probably without violating some traffic ordinance. If you look at exactly the letter of the law, if you're 1 mile over the speed limit, you're speeding. If you don't come to an absolute complete stop at the stop sign, you're running a stop sign. If you don't use your turn signal within 50 feet of the intersection, you're violating it. So we have the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. I don't think the spirit of the law is intended to apply to a snowmobile or a four-wheeler with a snowplow on it to clean snow off of a sidewalk.
Furthermore, Lowe says he has no knowledge of a person charged for clearing snow off sidewalks with a motorized off-road vehicle here or elsewhere in Alaska.
And I've talked with the district attorney in Juneau about this. They have never seen anybody charged with that violation. Certainly, you don't want somebody on their car driving on the sidewalk. That's what the law's intended for. If you've got, you know, a foot of snow on the sidewalk and you want to use your four-wheeler to push it off, I don't think that violates the spirit of the law. The district attorney in Juneau told me the same thing. You know, they've never seen anybody charged with that, and they actually thought it would be kind of silly to actually charge someone with that.
Lowe passed his recommendation to the borough, which will be considering the ordinance in the future. Skagway Panthers played Heidelberg Warriors in the last week, winning by 4 points on Wednesday night and losing on Thursday. A Haines man is on his way home from Haiti this weekend after serving on a volunteer medical crew there. Eric Kotcher is an emergency medical technician and traveled to the Caribbean country a few weeks after it was devastated by a magnitude 7 earthquake that's estimated to have killed up to 200,000 people. By mobile phone in Port-au-Prince, Kotcher described the scene 1 month after the quake.
You see, you know, downed houses and buildings and stuff that have been destroyed by the earthquake. You also see other structures that appear to be fairly intact, you know, and they're recognizable. But the thing that struck me most is just the number of people that are out and about. I mean, all these streets and everywhere, is just there's people on the sidewalk walking or sitting. You know, they may be selling things and stuff like that. There's all these little stands and stuff. And what I don't know, that's the way they look beforehand.
Along with schools, landmarks, and historic structures, an overwhelming number of people's homes and businesses were destroyed.
Obviously, some of the little shops and stuff that tend to populate everything are not inhabitable, so the people may have just moved their wares out on the street. So you see a wall with just, you know, 100 pairs of shoes out there that somebody is selling, or tires, truck tires, or motor oil, or, you know, fruit, bread, I mean, drinks, everything. We saw a guy, we drove by a guy that had two huge blocks of ice that he was trying to sell.
Following the event, the first wave of assistance was an effort to rescue buried victims and get emergency medical care to the most injured people. Exactly 1 month later, Karcher says the efforts have evolved.
You don't see any of the signs of death or the dead, other than you know that there must be many, many bodies buried in some of these houses, these schools, these larger buildings that just totally collapsed down. I mean, nobody's gotten in underneath them yet. See that. What's really weird is, or sad or strange, you see individuals every once in a while in some of these buildings, and it seems like a fruitless effort. They're standing on top of it and maybe trying to, like with a sledgehammer, break through some of the concrete that is near impossible. Other areas you see where people have got some bedding or something just on top of the structure that's been collapsed below them.
Kodger flew into the Dominican Republic last weekend, then traveled overnight by bus across the border into Haiti.
Was coming in from the Gisbert Hospital, they just sort of wait us on in. Amazing, the traffic in the streets, and things get closed off or just get totally bottlenecked in ways, and then you're going down these little side alleys that you can hardly maneuver through, or there's downed wires and everything else. Just getting to our sites has been an ordeal. I mean, we spent over 5 hours today going and coming back. I mean, 2.5 hours each way just to get to where our clinics were.
There's signs of organization at this point, and an obvious foreign government presence, too, says Kocher. United Nations and United States troops have encampments, military convoys are in the streets, cleanup crews are regularly working, and volunteers from all over the world are there.
Like Peru, we met some guys from Peru, military-type vehicle. We were just talking because none of us were moving in the traffic. And we've met a lot of different soldiers from places like the Prague and Georgia and other places. But there are a lot of other countries there.
He brought with him almost 60 pounds of medicine, vitamins, and supplies, and a bundle of crutches when he went. And Kodger's team of 33 doctors, nurses, and other volunteers helped more than 750 Haitians in 1 3-day span.
We're going to certain places that have been picked out. And one of the most important things you have to deal with is security, in the sense that once the word gets around that there's a clinic, then you get a huge mass of people all trying to abandon the clinic. So most places there's a fenced courtyard and whatever. Today we were in a church that had been somewhat destroyed by the quake, and in sort of a courtyard area where all the pews and the benches had been set up outside of the building, but we were in there in this courtyard area. So the several hundred people that we saw came in through a gate, and we had to close it off and then, you know, let people in stages. And, you know, there was quite a crowd of folks outside, a lot of people trying to get in.
Kocher says there's a lot of respiratory health issues from the dust in the air and psychological concerns for the survivors, but much of what they're dealing with is very serious.
We also are dealing with more serious problems. We had two infants today, one of them very serious. Was born on January 7th, 5 days before the quake, now a month old, and had lost weight the entire month and was severely dehydrated. We were fortunate enough that we actually transported the mother and the child with us as when we left the clinic and dropped them off or stopped at the hospital in town that's controlled by the U.S. and it's U.S. nurses and doctors up in there, and the baby thing that the baby admitted that trying to address the dehydration problem.
More than 7,000 babies are due to be born in the next month. In a country where 1 million people are homeless, living in sheet tents on sidewalks or on top of crumbled piles of building, the extent of the restoration that would have to happen to bring the country back is overwhelming, says Kocher.
So there's all of these tiny little efforts, but you just don't see any major effort. And you know, day after day going through the streets, there's no change. What's going on in the building? So like every once in a while, it's cleaned up little piles, and it's overwhelming to think how you would do things. I mean, the easiest thing, I suppose, would be just to level everything. They don't have any big equipment, though. People are living in and around all these buildings and on the streets all the time. It was a very difficult, highly restricted situation before the plague.
He says the medicines and supplies provided by generous Haines residents were particularly invaluable, especially the crutches. Kocher says recipients are amazed to see the picture of the crutches in the snow in Haines just days earlier.
All of the crutches have been given out, and in fact, I was present when each one was given out, which is sort of nice. And they had a little label I put on them, just saying donated by the community of Haines to the people of Haiti. But all of the other medical supplies, vast numbers, were really invaluable. But all those medicines are being given out, and we also had a wound care site, so a lot of the gauze and other things like that. And all the vitamins are given out to people, which is very helpful. if you're hearing background noise, we're actually doing some of the sorting of medicines and stuff right now, which we do every night before the next day. But the main thing is, you know, it was really neat to be able to bring this huge suitcase of supplies. I mean, for any one person to shut up, I probably had the most. And people, you know, the docs and stuff, when they were first separating out the stuff, were very pleased to see some of the stuff I brought, which they did not have or did not expect to have available. So the stuff at the clinic got in particular was very helpful.
Eric wrote from Haiti earlier this week that it's difficult to describe the hopelessness there. He wrote, "It's painted so starkly on the faces of the young Haitians. It was evident in the woman lying in the street. One can only assume she was too depressed to move on with her life. But being overwhelmed by the scope of the tragedy does not change the strong awareness that our small drop in the bucket has a real and significant impact on people's lives."
Yeah, I'm really happy that I'm able to share back with the folks in Haines what their contributions have meant. I try not to get so focused on the vastness of the population, and I just think about, you know, the 200-plus people that we process through today, almost all of whom I talk to, find out what their problem was, and with an interpreter. And so, you know, I've seen their faces, I've seen these little kids coming through, and they're all getting something because of this help.
Friday was a national day of mourning for Haiti, exactly 1 month after the earthquake. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.